Welcome to Lesson 5, the Me Position of the Manala of Being. This is actually the most subtle of the lessons, because most of the time we don't realize that when we say me or I, we're talking about something that's been created through identification with thoughts throughout the years, things our parents told us, things our teachers told us, things that we assumed about ourselves by watching how our parents responded to us. Over time, without being able to question any of these thoughts, any of these beliefs, we've become identified with them. And that matrix of identification is what we each mean when we say me or I. But stop for a moment right now and realize that when you're talking about yourself, you're making yourself an object of your own contemplation. It's not your true self. If you're saying to yourself, I need to lose weight, and you identify with that, then you believe that your body is overweight, you're fat, you're not attractive, and that leads to a depressive feeling. If you bring your awareness back to the center, to the now position of the manala of being, you could look and say, well, that's just a thought. I'm not going to give myself away to that thought. But we've been doing it for so long, giving ourselves away to those kinds of thoughts for so long, that in fact, all we mean when we say me or I is the cumulative effect of all these millions of beliefs and judgments about ourselves. So now what we're going to do is try to take a look at a few of these thoughts, a few of these stories. The basic tendency when we're in the me position is either to tell ourselves stories that make us feel special and important and big, basically grandiose, or we tell ourselves stories about ourselves that make us feel small, insecure, inadequate, and basically depressive. So those are the two ways we keep protecting this myth, this false sense of self that we mean when we say me or I. We make ourselves special and grandiose, or we make ourselves depressive and small. Of course, as soon as we do that, we give all our power away, and others become very important if we're depressive, or others become much less important if we are special and grandiose. What are the kinds of stories that you tell yourself? To make this kind of inquiry effective, think about a time when you were angry with someone. What kind of stories did you tell about who you were in that situation? Or a situation where you were unhappy about something in your life. What were you telling yourself about who you are in that situation? Often those stories look like something like judgments. So ask yourself now, what are the judgments I have about myself? Think of a situation, maybe where something seemed very difficult, and you felt tired or overwhelmed. What were the shoulds and shouldn'ts you were saying about yourself in that situation? Or ask yourself, what is it I often tell myself I need to be, or I need to do, or I need to have, in order to feel good about myself? Let these questions help you become aware of the conscious and often subconscious ways you tend to label yourself or define yourself and set conditions that you believe are necessary for your happiness, for your security, for your sense of being in control. This is that whole world of me stories, and as you learn to make them conscious in yourself, you free yourself of the past because it's one of those me's that has a particular hold on the past, and you free yourself from much of the future worries and false hope, because it's the grandiose me will have one kind of future, the depressive me a different kind of future. So the task in this lesson is to just become aware of the frequent stories you tell about yourself, and then to step back into the center of the mandala and realize that who you are begins right now. That in your ineffable, limitless consciousness, You can have a story about yourself, but any belief you have about yourself, you have to be more than. This is really something important that people in my work are always surprised to discover and understand. By the very nature of our awareness, when we become aware of something, that part of us that is aware has to be more than what we're aware of. We can't be aware of anger if we're completely identified with anger. We can't be aware of a belief about our past if we're completely identified with that belief. In fact, if we were identified with thoughts, all we would be is a book. Open the book, the same words on the same page, the same sentences. The book never changes. Of course, if you read a book, often it sounds different to you, has a different effect, because a different part of you, a different me, is reading it, or you're reading from a center that's more truly who you really are, as opposed to one of your identities in that whole world of me stories. This is really important work, and it's a lot of fun if you really want to understand the truth of who you are. So go to work and find some of your me stories, then step back into the now and feel who you really are without any of those stories. Say to yourself, who I am begins right now. I am and have always been what I've been seeking for. Feel in yourself that without those stories about yourself, you are sufficient as you are, and you always have been, and always will be. This is the power of the mandala work. By making it clear that the stories you have about yourself can never be who you are, because the very awareness of those stories implies then you're more than, that you are more than them. This is the path to liberation. This is the path of awakening to your true self.